For a second there, it felt a little bit like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. You know, where he's like changing out of his shoes and I'm taking these wires off of me. I have this vague memory. It's really vague now, but so I went on this little adventure with my dad. I think it was his younger brother, Gordon. We were on a local river and we were in a raft, and I think my uncle and my dad thought it'd be a great time to teach me and maybe my couple of my brothers how to swim. And when I say teach me how to swim, I'm being very generous with that phrase, because what I remember was being thrown out the raft into the river and, you know, freaking out. Some of you maybe have nightmares about drowning. I do. It's a scary thing. And it was probably just seconds. Right? In my mind, it felt like an eternity, but I'm sure it was just a couple seconds. But at some point, either my dad or my uncle yanked my arm, grabbed me up out of the water, put me back in the raft. And I hope you didn't have a swimming lesson like that. Maybe some of you, did anybody have a lesson like that out there? Anybody? Okay, a few of us, we can start a support group later for that. But I did eventually learn how to swim. But that still sticks in my mind. Isn't it weird how you have these memories from childhood, and every once in a while they just come flashing back. And you're like, what? What triggered that? But I was thinking about that the other day. It's a wonderful thing to be saved up out of that water if you're in a situation like I was. And maybe you have something in your life like that. Maybe it wasn't a swim lesson. Maybe it was something else. Maybe you were rock climbing or having some adventure, and you slipped and were falling, and somebody grabbed you and raised you up out of danger. And maybe you have a moment like that. Or maybe you just really needed a hug, and someone lifted you up and pulled you into a hug. There's just something about that, kind of being raised into something of comfort, raised into something that saves your life. It's a beautiful thing. Well, speaking of raised up, you may have noticed that's sort of our theme with the balloons and whatnot. If you didn't know, now you know. But we're celebrating a raising, if you will. But today I want to propose there's actually three raisings that we're celebrating today. Three raisings is going to be the challenge that I got to prove to you, that there are three raisings in this whole story of Easter. Certainly, today we're talking about the game-changing raising. And that was the fact that on a Sunday in the first century, that first day of the week, a tomb was empty. Something no one expected, even though Jesus told him it was going to happen, still nobody expected it, because that just doesn't happen. Smart people know that dead people don't come back to life. So nobody expected it, but that tomb was empty. So we're certainly going to celebrate that raising today. That's a huge one on Easter. But we think about this story, this peculiar, odd story of this first century Jewish blue-collar guy, Jesus of Nazareth. You wouldn't have thought that he, of all people, from a small, insignificant town, small, insignificant part of the world, would do something that we're still talking about 2,000 years later. Something that has altered human history forever, all coming down to that empty tomb. And that tomb brought not just resurrection, but rescue, real rescue for humanity. So here's my proposal. We're going to talk about the first raising, which was, hang with me, a tragic raising that we have right behind us, right? That was a raising up. Jesus didn't do that to himself. The Roman soldiers did that, right? So that was the first raising. But then we have the second raising of that tomb being empty. We're still talking about that crazy tomb being empty. That's the second raising. And Jesus promised. And the early church followers of Jesus, they all affirmed this, that one day there would be a third raising. And that third raising would be all of those who call on his name. Even with just a little bit of faith, all of us will also be raised up with him into new heavens and new earth. No more tears. And the older I get, the more that third raising sounds pretty exciting. right? Some of you are with me. That sounds pretty awesome. We're celebrating three today. You get three for the price of one. I'm Pastor Ben. I'm glad you're with us. With your online, hello. We see you in your pajamas. And then the rest of us are here. We're thankful that we get to do this. I'm honored to be part of the Easter celebration with you. It's a pretty awesome event. It's Resurrection Sunday. That tomb was empty. We commemorate that today. So before I get too far into the message today, could we, on the count of three, just take a deep breath? I need it. So would you join with me on count to three? One, two, three, deep breath. Let it out. Today, Resurrection Sunday, the world changed, and we celebrate that. Would you pray with me? Father, we're thankful, like Christ followers all over this town and all over the world, we're thankful for resurrection, for new life, for hope, for rescue, for freedom, all that you did for us that faithful weekend that we celebrate today. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us today. Would you speak to our hearts, that we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts that are ready to be formed and shaped by you to live out the resurrection reality every day and every place we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a Bible or device, I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians 15. You might think it's an odd text choice for Easter, but I'm a weird person, so there you go. I'm going to choose 1 Corinthians 15. If you've never read this, this will sound kind of quite interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's a letter that was written from one of the early church leaders, Paul. He wrote to his friends, the church in Corinth, and this was his first letter. Let me just read down what Paul says, and then we'll kind of react to it. Okay? Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not rise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And that's good news. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God, right? Wow. Now, if you're an English teacher in this room, some of you may be, We find the beauty of that conjunction. But have you ever read this passage before? Some of you are like, wow, that's in the Bible? I mean, that's Paul just telling it like it is. Like, if there's no resurrection, we're all a bunch of fools. We are all fools if there wasn't a resurrection. In fact, the reality is, Christianity would not exist if this was not a reality. Like, if the resurrection didn't happen, there is no Christianity, period. There's just not. End of story, done, if there is no resurrection. Christianity does not exist. Then all of us in this room would be a bunch of fools. Now, we're not, are we? Because of that incredible conjunction. But Christ has been raised. A friend of mine who's like a professor and a podcaster, they all seem to go hand in hand, right, these things. But he says it like this. The only solid reason to be a Christian is because Jesus rose from the dead. Not church, not good vibes, not how other Christians treat you. It's about Jesus and his resurrection. And if it's true, and I believe it is true, everything changes. It's not dependent on how nice you are to me or what kind of good vibes we have when we gather, you know, if the band was great or whatever that is. It's not depending on any of that. It's dependent only on Jesus rising from the dead. Right? We would be fools, but Christ has been raised, and that has changed everything. If you just do a little bit of homework, I mean, that's Christianity. It's basically a resurrection faith. The whole thing centers on that. And again, if it doesn't happen, we're in trouble. It's a resurrection faith. It's essential for our salvation. So if it doesn't happen, we're sunk. But God did raise him from the dead. You see, I think there's something important here, that the resurrection is like God's amen to Jesus' words, "It is finished." Let me say that again. That's pretty good. I didn't come up with it. I can't take credit. But I'll read it again. The resurrection is like God's amen to Christ's words, "It is finished." You see that? Death wasn't the last word. Death no longer has its sting. That is such good news. What a conjunction that little word is. But he has been raised. Jesus was confident. Before he even went into that crazy weekend, we just kind of are at the tail end of like the Holy Week. And some of you were here for our Good Friday that we actually did on Thursday. I know we're confusing around here, but Holy Week, it's a culmination. Before Jesus even stepped into that week, he told his followers, "Look, here's what's ahead." And it kind of upset them. And he kept talking about, you know, he's going to be turned over to Gentiles and they're going to kill him. And I mean, the conversation was just devastating probably for his first followers. And his early followers are saying, "Why are you talking like this?" He tried to let them know this was all going to happen way before they got to Holy Week. And even then, they still struggled. They still struggled to understand it. Good thing we know everything. But they struggled that he would be raised up. He said, I'm going to be raised up on the third day. I'll come show myself to you. I'll prove to you everything I've been teaching. And the proof will be an empty tomb. That was the proof. So listen to what he said way before he got to the cross. And Jesus was talking to some religious leaders at the time. And he said, "Look, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And the Jews and the Jewish leaders said, "It has taken us like 46 years to build this temple." They were thinking the actual physical temple that was in existence in ancient, you know, Jerusalem. They were thinking about that temple, the one that Herod built. And they're like, "This is crazy, you know, 46 years, you know, with construction delays, you know, supply chain issues, things like that, 46 years. But of course, he was speaking about his body. And John, in chapter 2, John's gospel says this, when therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. And they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. You see, they were struggling this whole time. Him talking about this death and this resurrection business didn't make sense to them. I mean, they thought, "Hey, Messiah's here. Bye-bye, Rome. We are now part of the inner circle. We're going to rule the world." That was kind of the thought of Jewish first century thinking and leadership, that he was going to kick out Rome and we're going to get back to the golden age of Israel. And Jesus was speaking about a different kingdom. He would tell the leaders, "It's a kingdom not of this world. It's a kingdom that's going to be won by sacrifice and love, not by weapons of war." And Jesus is going to start a love revolution that happened that first church. And his disciples didn't get it. Over and over, the scriptures do what we just read. They remembered that he said it and later believed. But while it was happening, just like we would, we're struggling with this. It doesn't make sense that if you're going to kick off a kingdom, the first thing you're going to do is die. It didn't make sense to them, but boy, when that tomb was empty, things started to click. Oh, and they remembered later that he had said that. Again, speaking of himself, Jesus affirmed that, "Hey, I'll be killed, but on the third day I'll be raised to life." And even though he knew that was going to make his disciples and his followers a little bit upset, he knew that it was temporary. They didn't, but he did know it was temporary. And then, as the early church began to tell the stories over and over again, they were affirming over and over that he said things like this, "And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. These phrases start to come back to them because they remembered him saying this. Then those first followers, they were affirming over and over that God did indeed raise Jesus. We saw him. I mean, at some point, the early church was like, well, you can disagree with us, but there's nobody. It's not there. They were trying to make up stories. Well, some they stole him or whatever, and that court doesn't quite make sense, but that was the story they were telling. But the disciples and those who saw were like, we saw him dead, and then he's alive. So argue all you want. We can't help but just say what we saw. He was alive. Like, he ate food. He went fishing with the... I mean, they had to just tell exactly what they saw. Even though they knew, nobody was expecting this. Even though Jesus told them. Still, they had to just tell. They saw. They were eyewitnesses, the scriptures say. Eyewitnesses of his resurrection. And they would remember Jesus saying, look, Jesus was delivered for our trespasses and sins, and he was raised for our justification. That's what the early church affirmed over and over with what Jesus did. And they proclaimed the reality that every follower, even if you just had a little teeny bit of faith, every follower of Jesus would have a third raising. They'd be raised to life with him. In fact, we picture that in baptism. We have our baptistry over here. When we do baptisms here, which we love, it's the idea of almost a death, burial, and resurrection coming out of that water. And so no wonder the early church celebrated that over and over again, because it was another picture of the beauty of death, burial, and resurrection and new life. And the scriptures tell us, God raised the Lord, and he will also raise us up by his power. And in Ephesians, it says this. These are letters in the New Testament. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So those early followers, as they wrote down their experiences and they remembered Jesus' words, they were affirming over and over again, look, that body was not in there. Right? What's that song? No body, no crime? That Taylor Swift? Sorry. But, and the thing is, they were saying, look, he's physically raised from the dead. You know he's still alive? Now, I think when I was younger, I thought, well, he's raised to life. He showed himself to his disciples, and then he just like, went into the ether sphere. That's always how I thought about it. But actually, the scripture doesn't really say that. He was raised to life, like physically he's still alive. Have you thought about this? Because, now listen, hold on before you argue with me. At one point, Jesus does sort of ascend. He's with his disciples. Remember, this is right before it's all, right early in the book of Acts. The early church is starting now, and Jesus said, you know, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. I'm going to go away. He actually drifts up, which is kind of the common thinking in the ancient world. Is like you go up to God's realm, right? It's not literally up, but it's that idea. And they were staring at him, and the angels are like, they came around while they're all like staring straight up, and they're, what are you guys waiting for? You've got business to do, but you will see him return just like you saw him leave. He's still alive. Nobody in the tomb. Because he's alive. He's physically alive. Have you thought about it? I want you to think about that for a while. So I'm still trying to get my mind around this. He'll come back like he left. He's still alive. He was physically raised. And that would have been crazy talk for people in the first century. Just like maybe it is for us now. Just because we're smart, right? We know dead people don't rise from the dead. Dead things stay dead. That's usually what happens. And so our culture struggles with this idea. How could that be possible? And yes, it seems impossible. But we also learn that God specializes in the impossible. Jesus himself said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So it may seem crazy to those first century Jews and even those first century, you know, Greco-Roman citizens. In fact, the common philosophy in Greco-Roman citizens, kind of your average, I guess, first century Gentiles in the Roman world, would have studied people like or studied philosophies like Epicureanism and Stoicism. And these were just ideas where it's almost like the body is bad and the spirit is good. Sort of this splitting of the two. And so there's no way that, you know, to reach the divine place that you would ever have your body raised to life. And Jesus blows that all out of the water. He's raised from the dead with his body. That would have seemed crazy to first century everyday people. See, resurrection poses an alternative story. It's a different narrative than what we're constantly thrown and bombarded with. It's social media, everything is happening in our culture right now. We're being fed a line that this life is as good as it gets. So YOLO, you only live once, right? Take all you can, survival of the fittest. Only the good die young. This is what we're told. This is what's been put on us. And the resurrection gives us a different story. The resurrection says, this ain't as good as it gets. You don't die once. There's a whole new reality that resurrection opens up for us, a different story. We're not presented those same philosophies that really we know deep down are just too empty. They're not good enough, right? There's something in us that's like, I think we're creative for something better than that. That just seems like, you know, live it up and die tomorrow. That does seem so empty to us. And we know it deep down. There has to be something more. It's just, it's ingrained in us, I think. These philosophies don't work. Resurrection poses a different narrative. It tells a different story. It tells us of a God who can do the impossible. That's the sort of place I want to be. That's the sort of universe. Let me ask you this question. Is this unsettling, peculiar story that defies all logical odds a story that only fools could believe in? That going back to that conjunction, but Christ has been raised from the dead, is that only for fools? Is it? Or is it a different story? Is it a story of God doing the impossible and opening the door for a whole new reality? Think about that. Ponder with me for a little bit. What if this isn't the end or as good as it gets? Just what if, right? Again, flying against the philosophies that we often hear. What if? Just play this what if game with me. What if this isn't the end and this isn't as good as it gets? What if there is truly a hope beyond this life? A hope that you don't just get to live once and die and it's over. What if there's eternity? What if there's new heavens and new earth? What if there's recreation? What if Jesus was right that when you give up your life for him, you only gain it? What if he was right? What if he was right when he said, my kingdom is not of this world and you're not far from it? What if loving one another, serving one another, is the best way to fulfillment? What if giving up, sacrificing for someone else, is actually the pathway for your best life ever? Instead of just grabbing everything we got, because we may not have tomorrow, what if there's a different story? What if there's an alternate reality? There is. The resurrection proves it. We have a new way to be human. So no YOLO. That's what I'm proposing. It's no YOLO. We are living a different reality with resurrection. What if living this modern myth that we're in right now, again, YOLO, all that stuff, what if that whole thing is founded on a lie? What if it's founded on a lie? Maybe a lie that goes all the way back to the beginning. You know, you can choose your own way. Is God really telling you the truth? It goes all the way back to the garden. Is everything in modern philosophy built on a lie? It's like it was never calibrated. It never was at zero. Jesus is ground zero. And resurrection is where it all starts. Ponder this. What if there is a God who can spin galaxies into existence and do the impossible? What if there's a God like that who also cares about everything that's bothering you? What if this Almighty God actually knows the hairs on your head? What if this God is asking you to throw all your cares and anxieties on Him because He cares for you? A God who doesn't just create, but cares. That's the kind of universe I want to live in. Despite how broken we are, the late Tim Keller would always say it like this: we are more broken than any of us can possibly imagine, but we're far more loved than we can even dream. And we were born that way. That's the kind of universe I want to live in. A universe of possibility. The resurrection tells a different story than what's being told around us. It's not built on a lie. It's built on the fact that that tomb was empty. Jesus was right all along. Oh, what if that's true? See, the gospel good news, and that word gospel, I think, has gotten a little bit lost in modern day. Gospel really means the word is good news. And often that word gospel, good news, was used when a new king or a new emperor or a new Caesar came on the scene in ancient Rome and everything would change. Now a new king's in order, he's going to have new laws, everything. Jesus and the early church co-opted that term. He says, no, actually, a new king and kingdom has come, but it's not a kingdom of this world. It's a kingdom that's built on love, sacrifice, not on weapons of human war. And this kingdom is everlasting. So the gospel good news is the invitation to be part of the new king and new kingdom, to be part of that both now and not yet. And the invitation was open to everybody. Wasn't the elite were the only ones given the invitation. It wasn't those who were born in the right family, people that had the right color skin. Nah. The invitation is open. That every tribe, tongue, and nation would be ushered into this new kingdom of both now and not yet. A kingdom where the impossible is possible because the King is the King of Kings. That's the good news of the gospel. And many of us in this room, our lives have been changed by that. If you're not one of those folks this morning, make this your day. You say yes to the new king and new kingdom, and you be part of His kingdom, both now and not yet. Consider the invitation. I love what this, I read this comment that I read this week. The gospel, listen to this. You'll know right away why I like this quote in the first few words. Okay, be quiet, Ben, and just read it. As someone once put it, the gospel is the irritating an upsetting challenge to the commonly held views of life and death. Those of us here today who follow Jesus are absolutely convinced that His resurrection did happen and that it changes everything. The Christian faith comes from Christ's experience, not trivial feelings or desires. The conviction of resurrection gives an unwavering hope for the future. Please consider the invitation. It's a good invitation. And Jesus would just say over and over again, you don't have to be good enough. You just a little teeny bit of faith. He even tried to tell a story about a mustard seed. Like if you just had a little teeny bit of faith, you could move a mountain. I don't know why I would want to move a mountain. But anyway, my point is, a little bit of faith. Romans 10 says it this way. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you'll be saved. Doesn't say that we have to read the right Bible translation or dress a certain way or look a certain way or vote a certain way. Little bit of faith. Little bit. It's like Jesus is saying, I'm making it so easy for you. Now we know there's more to it, but the idea is, yeah, we believe, we trust Him, right? We just call out and say, He's Lord and I'm not. And we want to change the way we've been living. That's repentance. It's a Bible word, repentance. And start following Jesus instead of our way. And we're baptized. We talked about baptism, the idea of death and resurrection. And then we begin walking in newness of life. And discipleship 101, you know what it is? It's really complicated. Read what Jesus said to do, and then just figure out how to obey it. When he said, love your neighbor, maybe he was actually talking about your neighbor. You put his words into practice. And Jesus says, in one of his teachings, he said, you know, when you do that, it's like building your house and your life on solid ground, a solid rock. The invitation is open. And my call to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus, you've already said yes to Jesus, you're following Jesus, is to live raised. That's my only point today. Live raised. When we say yes to Jesus, we're now part of the resurrection world, a reality where Jesus is raised from the dead, and we start living out the resurrection ways in our lives, yielding to what the Holy Spirit is now doing in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, loving our neighbor, being generous. That's living raised. And if you said yes to Jesus, you've said yes to the invitation, that's now your call. Now, if you've never said yes to Jesus, you could do that now, and that could be part of your call. It's not about a label. It's not about a particular church building. It's about saying yes to the good news invitation of a new king and kingdom, both now and not yet, and living raised as a resurrection reality. Yeah. Let me just ask this now for just some food for thought, and then I want to close it out. What needs maybe to die in your life right now? Are there some things that need to die in your life? That's the first question. The second question is, are there some things that need to be raised up in your life? Maybe a little more of that love, joy, peace, patience. Maybe a little more of that mercy and justice and forgiveness. So what needs to be raised up? What needs to die? What needs to be raised up? And finally, what do you need God's resurrection power to make right in your world today? What do you need some resurrection power on to make right in your world today? What is that? Be bold enough to just ask him. He loves to hear from us. He's made that abundantly clear. Look, we're all going to face a raising up. One day, all of humanity is going to stand before Almighty God, and it's going to be a holy and just day. It's going to be a good day in many ways. But for those of us who said yes to Jesus, we claim his righteousness and his goodness on that final day. And I want everybody in this room to be able to do that today. Claim his goodness and righteousness over your life. He was delivered to death for our sins. He was raised to new life for our justification, that we too may live a new life and bear fruit for God. One day, the one who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your body, to my body, our mortal bodies, because of his Spirit who lives in you and me. So the invitation for you: if you've already said yes to Jesus, live raised. Live the resurrection life. If you've never said yes to Jesus, you can do that today. See me, see anybody on stage. We've got our elders in the back. We'd love to pray with you, get you started on a journey of faith. We're called to live raised because we're part of a new kingdom, a kingdom and a reality where anything is possible. Would you pray with me? Father, you're good and powerful. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the courageousness that we need to live raised every day, Monday, Tuesday, all the way through the week. That, Father, you would empower us to be your kingdom people this week. In Jesus' name, amen.